Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is February the 17th, after our big winter storm here in Atlanta. And joining me in the studio today is Mary Jo Bowser and Lee Cantor. Good morning.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Sam.
Any issues with the inclement weather we had this evening?
No, it wasn't bad.
Well, yeah. Today was foamageddon.
That's right. Well, you know, people who aren't in Atlanta certainly don't appreciate how reactionary people are when there is a forecast of severe weather. But nevertheless, we went through it, and we have a great show lined up for today. So I want to introduce our guest. Our guest is Dr. Rita Chaikin. She is a doctor of audiology associated with Atlanta Hearing Associates. So good morning. How are you, Dr. Chaikin?
I'm well, and I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, I know, and you had no issues with the weather either.
I had none.
Good.
I had none.
Good. Okay, as we begin today, we want to start off as we always do and give you the opportunity, Dr. Chaikin, just to tell us a little bit about yourself. So if you'll start there and we'll have a great conversation, I'm sure.
Well, I'm a native Floridian from Miami, Florida. I got my undergraduate degree from Syracuse University in upstate New York in speech pathology and audiology. And when I graduated, I came right to Atlanta and got my master's degree at Emory in both audiology and education of the hearing impaired. And a few years later, I got my doctorate in audiology from Salus University. It was Pennsylvania College of Optometry at the time, and they had an audiology department. And now at Salus University, and there's a college of audiology there.
How did a young lady from Florida get to Syracuse University?
I'd never seen snow. And I wanted to see a real fire in a fireplace and chestnuts roasting open, you know, over
an open fire.
Well, and for our listenings off the air, obviously, me being from West Virginia and Dr. Chaikin going to Syracuse, there's a natural rivalry there. But nevertheless, that interests me, how mm-hmm. someone from Florida goes to Syracuse, New York. And I'm sure you had all those experiences,
right? I did.
Great.
I did.
Great. Tell us how you, obviously you came to Atlanta to get your master's at Emory, but tell us how you got interested in this profession and what it's about, and then lead into Atlanta Hearing Associates and what they do.
When I was in Syracuse, my undergraduate, as I said, degree was in speech pathology and audiology, and I was very interested in the diagnostic aspects of audiology, which brought me to Atlanta to get my master's at Emory. And I stayed on after I graduated, and I was the first audiologist for Fulton County Schools. And after there 6 years, I actually went to learn more and work for a hearing aid manufacturer in the Southeast. I was a regional manager, and learn more about hearing aids. At the time, audiologists were getting into dispensing and fitting and dispensing hearing aids. And after I did that for a few years, I opened my first private practice, which I ultimately sold, and I then became an independent contractor and worked with some other companies and am now with Atlanta Hearing Associates.
And tell why Atlanta Hearing Associates? What brought you there?
What brought me there actually was Dr. Joy Pritchett, who is our CEO and our president. I think she's a visionary, and we were talking at one point, and she made me one of those offers that you couldn't refuse to do something that I love doing, and that was physician outreach and community outreach. And working in the Dunwoody office was very convenient to my home, and just got involved with her and her practice. There are four offices, actually, and we have offices in Lake Oconee, which is Greensboro, and Lake Sinclair, which is Milledgeville, and the Dunwoody office, Dunwoody Sandy Springs office, which is out Mount Vernon. And our newest office is in Decatur, right near the intersection of North Druid Hills Road and Claremont Road. And we have five audiologists, two audiology doctoral candidates, and an audiology assistant.
we know that obviously you, in your profession, deal with hearing issues, but specifically tell us what it is that you do, how you differ from other health practitioners or other, I guess, providers of hearing services.
Well, we like to say that we're passionate about connecting our patients with the people and places they love. But most importantly, what we do is we educate, we evaluate, and then we treat patients, and then we keep educating. And my job really is, as the face of the practice, as I'm called, is physician education, nurse practitioners, elder care attorneys, geriatric social workers. I go out into the community and educate, and I do some of the marketing as well. But I think really it's our practice is about education of patients and the community.
As we were speaking off the air, I asked you somewhat of a clinical question about my own inner ear issues. But what is it that people can do to maintain the health of their hearing?
So, believe it or not, there are 36 million people with hearing loss now. And after the age of 65, it's the third most chronic condition, just after hypertension and arthritis. And that is shocking to people. But yet, you'll go and get your teeth checked and your eyes checked and your blood pressure, because those professions and industries have done a great job of educating. And I think our profession perhaps has not done as good a job. So the first thing, and we recommend it for people over the age of 55, is just to get your hearing screened. It is a quick process. We do it at no charge. There's lots of places to get it done. And a screening is a pass-fail event. It's about, do I have a hearing loss or do I not? And do I need to do some further testing to find out what the results are about?
You just made a statement. It's a pass-fail with... I'm going to relate it to an issue that I'm familiar with. Eyesight, even there is a range for normal eyesight, but obviously there's individuals that have far superior. Fire palates are known for that. Is the same true with hearing? I mean, is there a given norm, and in people that fall on the plus side of that norm?
Absolutely. Okay. There's a range of normal hearing, and you know there's what's interesting is that there's a large body of evidence that when hearing loss is diagnosed and treated, it really brings invaluable improvements to the quality of life, someone's quality of life, and actually to tangible cost savings by mitigating the untreated hearing loss.
So you're inferring that hearing imposes or has an effect on other health issues.
It does.
And can you elaborate on that? Tell us about that.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's an epidemic for people over the age of 65. There are cardiovascular problems and hearing health that are linked. Think about the stress that people have when they can't hear, and they're watching, and they're looking, and they're brings their very possibly their blood pressure up. Diabetic patients are twice as likely to have hearing loss, because diabetes is a disease of the small blood vessels, and there are small blood vessels in the ear canal,
the function of hearing. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
And interesting, and there's more and more research, which is what's so exciting and what's great for the type of work that I do, that just recently they found that certain hearing loss in those diabetic patients are markers for cardiovascular and cerebrovascular disease.
Can you, personal interest, Mary Jo and Lee, know, can you tell me how, if you can, how is hearing loss affecting cardiovascular disease?
Well, as I said,
I mean, the stress, obviously, but
right.
Is it beyond that? Or?
Well, you know, if somebody, the markers are a result of the disease, you know, in the ear, in the small blood vessels of the diabetic patient. And so it's, you know, they're all related to each other, and that's how. Now, it doesn't say that every patient who is a diabetic patient who has hearing loss in those frequencies has cardiovascular disease, but it's a marker to get evaluated.
Now, is hearing loss something that you can improve, or do you need to get a hearing aid in order to improve the hearing?
Well, good question.
There's several types of hearing loss. Some can be medically treated, and some cannot. And there, it, more than likely, for most people, it is not a medical issue that's required to improve the hearing.
And so that's a hearing aid?
That's a hearing aid.
Now, where would something like, Sam was mentioning, the inner ear or the, you know, for balance, and then there's tinnitus. Like, where do those issues fall?
Well, tinnitus is a whole other subject, sometimes called tinnitus. And actually, we have a tinnitus clinic in one of our offices. And it's really a treatable condition for many patients. Unfortunately, there are some medical personnel who have early on said, well, you know, it's not treatable. It's something that you have to live with. But it's really not. It's something that takes evaluation and consultation. Sometimes there are devices that can be used. Sometimes it's a matter of just talking to somebody. It's relaxation and so on.
For our listeners and the ignorant ones in the studio, what's tinnitus,
I'm sorry,
Dr. Chaykin?
Tinnitus is ringing in the ear, ringing or noises that people hear in their ear.
Oh,
it's associated sometimes with other ear conditions and that, you know, really need to be diagnosed. But for many people, it is associated with hearing loss, or perhaps sometimes it's not associated with hearing loss as well.
Now, what is the typical person that comes into your office, what are they afflicted with?
Sensory neural hearing loss. Usually, it's a sensory neural hearing loss, which is not your outer ear and not your middle ear, but your inner ear, and there are tiny little hair cells in the ear that fire into the brain, fire impulses into the brain, and some of those hair cells are deteriorated. So most of the people we see, and it's a normal part of the aging process. Just sorry to tell you
yeah,
that.
Great. Let's add it to the list.
But what's really interesting is as we age, as you know, there are a lot of things, as you mentioned, but there's so many conditions that untreated hearing loss is associated with that people don't know. Conditions like dementia, untreated hearing loss, and early onset dementia are related in that if someone is treated early, it may prolong the effects of the dementia. And I'll tell you, I want to mention there are patients who I've treated and I've been with who are dementia patients, and their families will say, well, they're not going to need the hearing. They, you know, we've already spent as much money as we're going to spend, and they're not going to remember. They're going to lose their hearing aid and so on. And so they'll be in different places and not maybe appreciate the sounds of life around them. And I know in particular I can think of one patient who I treated for a long time as she deteriorated. And her family would say to me, and I went to visit her once in, you know, she was in an area that was locked for her protection. And she was the one that was listening to the TV or listening to the sounds, or I could call her name and she would respond, unlike many of the other people who perhaps had hearing loss and were not treated. And her family said it was a very important part of her socialization, of her condition, that she be able to hear. Now, I had treated her before the onset of the dementia, but still, I'm surprised sometimes at the number of places who evaluate cognitive function in adults, in seniors, who don't do a hearing screening first to make sure that the test results are valid and reliable.
That's a very interesting point that I hadn't thought of. As you know, we are daily involved with patients that suffer from dementia or Alzheimer's. And I don't think that consciously we've made the connect between hearing function and the onset and development of that disease. And yet we know that part of the problem with that disease, dementia or diseases, dementia and Alzheimer's, has to do with frustration on the patient's behalf because they can't function as we do. And I concur, and it's really funny. I'm kind of taking a journey down a sidetrack here. But we do a an event called the Virtual Dementia Tour, where we try to expose individuals to what clinicians believe these patients suffer, and you desensitize them. That's what you put these foggy goggles over their eyes, you put headphones on that's piping in all this stupid noises and sounds, and you take the normal individual and you put them into that environment and you tell them to do simple tasks, and they don't do it because they don't hear
understand.
Or understand. I had not made that before.
And what if it is their hearing?
Well, let's talk about the dementia. How do you, as the clinician, recognize a hearing loss in a patient who has some level of dementia, and can you, and how do you go about addressing the issue?
Well, our hearing of our audiologists are well trained, and most of our patients are in the senior citizen range. And so we are well versed in all types of hearing loss and all types of conditions that people have, where we evaluate the patient in a sound treated room and we use the method that's most appropriate with them, whether it be the same kind of methods perhaps that we have to use with a child, or depending on the involvement of their abilities. And, we watch very closely and we take really good case history, but we watch very closely. And there are some tests that we do that, are not based on a response from the patient, a voluntary response.
Right.
There are some tests that we do where we can take them. And one of the things, because you kind of touched on that, about the confusion and so on that some of the patients have, even non-dementia patients who have untreated hearing loss are more likely to be depressed, to have anger, to have embarrassment, to have confusion. It affects physical and mental health. They're more likely to not be compliant to recommendations of a discharge nurse or an elder care attorney, and because they haven't gotten the message as they should have. So, and you want to be sure that they understand the recommendations that are made to them. So there are all kinds of ramifications of untreated hearing loss. Now, I don't want and the listeners to feel like every dementia patient has hearing loss.
Right.
That's not my point.
Right.
But they need to be evaluated pre-cognitive response evaluations to find out if they have that hearing loss. And even before, I'd like to suggest that before you evaluate people for your program, that they have a hearing screening, to find out if there is some other, or if there's something that can be done to make them more compliant, to make their lives easier for them and your caregivers.
I think in my mind as you speak, there are two issues that come to mind. First of all, as you suggested, it sounds like to me that everyone should have some type of hearing evaluation at a reasonable point in their life as far as age. 50, I don't know what the number is. I'm sure you know what the age is.
But let's say 55.
Okay, 55. And then if you can do that, establishing some baseline, now you know as you grow older, and if these memory cognitive disorders come to be, you have somewhere to work from.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now let's go to the second issue. Let's say someone who is now in their late 60s or whatever and have a cognitive disorder, whether it be Parkinson's, dementia, whatever it may be. Is there a way to effectively evaluate and treat those individuals? Let's say someone with moderate dementia.
Maybe. It depends.
It's hard.
It's
yeah.
harder.
Yeah.
It's harder. And we have some, as I said, tests that are not subjective tests, so that we can use to pinpoint. And certainly they can be evaluated. And we can find, as we do with babies, we can find the areas in which they have deficits.
Yeah, and that's
and we can pinpoint it even more and more
you,
now.
And you said that earlier, and when you said, well, sure, they do it in infants, so they ought to be able to do it in the senior population. Okay, great.
I've got a question if we could backtrack a little bit. you said you do the initial screening for free, but if more testing needs to be done or hearing aids are needed, Are those covered by insurance or Medicare?
So we accept Medicare and all insurances for the hearing evaluations. There are actually some few of us in the independent audiology area who do accept insurance. But there also are some insurance policies or insurance companies who will pay for some portion or all of hearing aids. And that's something that we help patients with to find out whether they have those benefits. Medicare is interesting. Medicare will pay for the initial evaluation once in your lifetime. Unless you have an order from a physician saying that there's medical necessity for you to have a follow-up evaluation. And quite honestly, Medicare has not kept up with the profession or kept up with the times now.
Surprise, surprise.
And, you know, they haven't really kept pace. And we are really in need, because more and more baby boomers are now going to be in the age range where they're going to have Medicare and they're going to want to have some just even the evaluation. When you're 64 and you have insurance, you can come into our office and give us the insurance and it'll cover your evaluation. When you're 65, you have to go see a physician first to write an order to come and see us. And we're in the process. Last year we had introduced a bill called the Audiology Patient Choice Act, and I've been working on that, actually lobbying in Washington and lobbying in the state for passage of that, and hopefully, you never know what's going to happen with Congress, but hopefully it's going to get reintroduced this year.
Let's go back to what you just said. And I can see several issues here, but first of all, let's distinguish between a medical doctor that specializes in what I used to call ear, eyes, nose, and throat, okay, and an audiologist. So let's clarify that.
Okay, great. So an audiologist has a post-second degree. Usually it's 7 years post-high school. It's 4 years undergraduate, 3 years professional degree, which is now in every state the Doctor of Audiology. That is the entry level for an audiologist in every state. There are still some audiologists who are master's level, but now our regulations and our law in Georgia and the rest of the states require that you have your doctorate to be licensed. We are the specialists of hearing, and there are all different areas of hearing, interoperative monitoring, tinnitus, dizziness, you know, dizziness and balance, hearing aids. There are a lot of areas that public school audiologists, you know, that we encompass. There are also certainly ear, nose, and throat doctors or otolaryngologists. There are neurootologists who perform surgery, really brain surgery, on tumors and on other problems that more severe medical problems. And the ear, nose, and throat doctor will treat medically problems with hearing or with ears. And we are the hearing specialist.
And I'm going to go out on a limb, Sam Grass's philosophy. Medicare requires a medical doctor to see, requires an order from a medical doctor to you, because Medicare has historically always been medically related and for those issues. So they're going to go through that MD, so to speak, in order to go to the people such as yourself who can treat the non-medical condition.
And the point really is we are not looking for a change in our scope of practice in any state. We're just looking to be able to practice our trade, our profession.
In my mind, it has to do with efficiency.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, and
in
money.
My mind,
and
yeah,
money.
Exactly. Well, that efficiency in my mind equates to money, and you're right. You know, if somehow they rewrite these rules and be certain that you are practicing with the scope of your profession, obviously, then they can avoid that order from an MD, which avoids a doctor's visit, which avoids Medicare's reimbursement of that. Of course, MDs aren't going to like that, so good luck.
Yeah. I'm not going there right now.
I want to ask something on a more positive note. Hasn't there been a lot of discoveries or new things like if I were to get, or if someone were to get a hearing aid now, it's not like granddad's hearing aid anymore, right? It's not a big old thing that sticks out of your ear, or...
It doesn't have to be. It can be virtually invisible. It can be tied into your iPhone so that you can make adjustments on your iPhone, or that you can stream music right to the hearing aid for your particular hearing loss. It can be big and bulky because now with all the different types of Bluetooth devices and so on, some people like to make
care.
It look like, that's right, they don't care, it doesn't need to be. So and the technology, it's not only the size of it, but the technology and how much benefit for patients there is now is totally different than it used to be. And I know there are stories about patients who have their hearing aids in their closets or in their drawers or whatever, and our mission is for those patients to come in and let us take care of what it is that the reason why they're
update,
not using them.
Update them or something.
Or find out, you know, what's wrong and make different adjustments to what, you know, the hearing aids that they're wearing.
Well, typically, Dr. Chaykin, hadn't it been a problem for hearing aid wearers to be in a noisy place like a theater or a restaurant or something?
Yes, that's one of the issues, and actually, it's an issue for all of us who, you know, are in noisy places, separating the background noise from the foreground. But there are a lot of hearing aid devices that can be coupled with accessories for the TV, for a room. There are also loop systems which work through the hearing aid that are wired systems in churches and even in someone's home. So they can hear the TV better, that you just push a button on the hearing aid and it picks up the sound as if the microphone is right next to your ear. And it's invisible, and in a lot of places in the world, throughout the world, are installing loop systems in their areas.
Now, what is the price range for hearing aids nowadays?
Well, not a good question, Lee.
I bet that depends, but go ahead, Dr. Chaykin.
But is it like a low-end one is $1,000 or $5,000, or what's the range?
We say the range of hearing aids generally runs $1,000 and up. Normally, it is bilateral. Usually, it's just like glasses. If you wear glasses and you want to see out of both eyes, you need to hear out of both ears because you really hear with your brain. The ears just get the sound to the brain. So if you can figure, if you want to separate the foreground sound from the background noise, you really need to have your whole brain working. If you want to hear behind you, in front of you, and so on. And the best perception of hearing in noise or not in noise is if you have hearing loss in both ears, is to have a binaural fitting.
And then, but if you wanted a device that hooks to your phone and does all the tricks, is that $10,000 or is that even
no,
more?
Not an RF. really, even the mid-range or even the more economical hearing devices can be coupled with some of those accessories. So you don't have to buy the most expensive, and it really not only depends on your hearing loss, but we're really asking a lot of questions about somebody's lifestyle. What
right.
do you really need, and where do you need to hear, and where are you in your life? So there are different factors that we suggest to people and take into consideration. You know, some of it's how important is hearing to them.
You know, we were speaking off air, and you mentioned that you had two or three upcoming free events. Would you like to speak to those?
I would. Next week, on February 26th in the evening, Dr. Melissa Wyckoff, who is an audiologist with me, and I are going to be speaking about hearing protection. And so I don't forget, I have brought for each of you some earplugs. Because not only do we treat hearing loss, but we are very concerned about your future of your hearing. And you can bring some of these home to your family if you like. Tell me you had a son.
You don't know how appropriate this is. We went to the gun range on Sunday, and I used all my hearing,
all the earplugs.
So, Sam, let's talk about you coming to our office and getting a little bit better protection for hearing at the gun range.
I did do something, right?
Okay.
Give me the glass has to be half full.
Yeah, but there's another level. I just a thought. And maybe you need to come and you'll find out about those different
levels.
Next week it's going to be at the Hyatt Place. It's sponsored by Eric Burkhardt Insurance. And Dr. Wyckoff really has a great background in noise protection and ear protection. And we're going to be talking about the whys, but also the hows of having ear protection. And very exciting, a week from Saturday, which is February 28th, in our Decatur office, which is, as I said, near the intersection of Claremont North Druid Hills Road. It's 1991 North Williamsburg Drive, Suite A1A. We are having an open house because we're introducing our new Saturday hours. So to help make it more convenient, it's from 10 to 2. There'll be refreshments. We have someone who is going to do some mini massages, and we're going to have a chiropractor there doing some assessment. And we invite, and we're going to, for really adults, particularly over the age of 55, we invite them to come, bring their friends, and get their hearing screened. There's no charge. They'll be in a sound treated room. It doesn't hurt. You'll vouch for that, right?
Right.
You
know, absolutely.
You had it, and you can talk about your experience, but. And we're very excited to have as many people as we can come to that.
You'll be glad to know that Eric Burkhardt has been on our show numerous times.
Oh.
So it's funny, but what a small world you live in.
That's right. And he's very kind to let us talk about hearing protection, yeah, and how important it is.
Well, as I told you before we began, the 30 minutes goes by very quickly. Great conversation. I certainly want to thank you for being here, want to invite you back, and we can, I'm sure, do two or three shows without even beginning to scratch the surface of information as it relates to hearing. As we close, I want to ask you two questions. For those that are young, what should they be doing and cognitive of to protect their hearing? And then for those that are in their 50s, what should they be doing to prepare for the future?
Okay. For younger people, turn it to the left. That means your dials, your volume dials, turn it to the left, which is making it lower. If you are with somebody and you can hear the words of the song that they're listening to through their headset or their earbuds, the music is too loud. It doesn't need to be too loud. And wear ear protection. We have acoustically tuned ear protection if they're going to loud concerts so that you're hearing the quality of the sound across the frequencies, but it's not hurting your hearing. For adults, if you're 55 and above, get your hearing screened. Get started, and do it periodically. I mean, hearing loss is something that develops as we age, but find out and keep up with it just as you would other screening.
Great, great piece of advice, great information. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today. We want to remind everyone that they can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at eugeriaradio.com. Once again, we thank Dr. Chaykin and invite her back. And as we always do, we want to close and say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.